and welcome to this week's Not Just a Game podcast. I'm Catherine Flick.
And I'm Tia Fothergill.
And this week we're going to actually move a little bit into board games just for a week because we like board games. We play them regularly, don't we, Tia?
Yeah, we enjoy them very much. We play them with lots of different friends, different groups of people we both know.
Yeah, and board games and video games have obviously, they've generally got a pretty good crossover in people that enjoy them.
Yeah.
Because especially the sort of, I don't know, what would you call them, more technical board games? So the
strategic. Yeah.
Strategic, yeah. The ones that are, require a bit more than just like Monopoly or
yes.
Pictionary or something yeah. like that. Not that those are bad games, no. but, you know.
They're excellent, tried and true, traditional things.
Except for Monopoly, because my brothers always cheat.
Yeah. Well, there's always...
And the games just go on forever.
As you know, I've never finished Monopoly. Like, I've never actually finished.
I think it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I think there's just so many house rules that it just means everyone can keep playing yeah. until someone knocks the board off the table or gets mad and storms off or something.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, that's actually a regular occurrence when I go to family holidays with my husband's family. There's always a table flip. Or a chair throw or something like that at some point, and it's usually over a board game.
Oh, boy.
It's hilarious.
Yep.
I've stopped playing to win. I just play to kind of survive long enough to watch somebody strop off into the corner.
Oh.
Anyway, it's good fun. Board games.
Board games. So we're going to talk because we are women who play board games, and yes. we have noticed things.
Things with a capital T.
Yeah. So we want to sort of look at some of the, perhaps what we would term missed opportunities in yes. game in board games.
Yes.
Some things that, I mean, obviously we're going to be picking on a couple of games here that we have played and enjoyed.
Yes, and like very much.
Yes. Here. We actually really enjoy playing these games, but we acknowledge that there are some issues with some of them.
Yes, I think so.
So firstly, we wanted to talk a bit about Ascension. So Ascension's a deck-building card game, and...
Chronicle of the God Slayer! It takes itself quite seriously, the box of this game.
I think the whole game takes itself fairly seriously. It seems
die,
a lot...
Die!
That's,
I mean, sorry.
That's Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was
wrong
just...
game. Back into the video games there for a second. But anyway.
I was just channeling that spirit of...
Reaper.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that whole...
Well, we've got a Reaper. So we've got a couple of cards in front of us because what yeah. we wanted to look at was...
Maybe more than a couple.
Some of the art on these cards.
Right.
So we were playing this game first... It was a couple of years ago when we first
yes,
played this game.
Yes, the first
game.
Time we played this. Yeah, right, I think... In the same group, yeah.
I picked it up at PAX East one time and mm-hmm. brought it back because I'd heard lots of good stuff about it.
Yeah.
And anyway, we started playing and we were like, oh, gosh, all the women are... sexy women. Like,
yeah.
All the women on these cards are all sexy.
Desirable.
Yeah, so we've got sexy druid girls, like the Fire Trip Witch.
Yeah, I mean, I have some other things. Okay, you go on about sexiness for a while. I have some other things I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, but we've also got sexy, like, spiky boob ladies.
Oh, yeah.
So like, the Spike Vixen is one.
Yes.
And she has, like, giant spiky boob bits.
Sharp. She looks terribly sharp.
And there's also a similar one called Emery, One with the Void, who definitely has spiky boobs and lots of just spikiness. It's a bit odd.
They have different parts hanging out. I mean...
Yeah, but she's also got seems to have a very metallic bikini bottom going on there. So that's very exciting.
What do you call that? I mean, there's so-called tasteful underboob. What's it called when it's underbum? I don't know.
Oh, the Spike Vixen.
The Spike Vixen.
Where you can see her butt cheeks.
Her... Yeah. Right.
I think it's under butt.
Sure.
Please write in if you know what
right.
this is called.
we do
are,
let us know.
We are old women and do not understand these things.
It's totally curious. Yes.
Yeah, so other than that, we've also got the damsel in distress
oh,
who
yes.
is being saved Or perhaps
not being saved.
Actually, I'm not sure what's going on in the Void Thirster card. It looks like
looks like there's some gum stuck to the pavement.
He's tried to extract his axe from
move
a...
his giant axe out of the gum.
Yeah, but then there's a lady just lying next to it.
Like,
so...
oh, I shall passively just accept whatever fate shall befall me.
Yeah, this guy that's moving his axe from the gum does not look very friendly, I have to say.
No, I mean, he doesn't... I mean, he is half naked, but there's not much to look at.
He's got kind of, like, mummy wrappings going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's not very... He looks quite...
I don't think I'd want to be next to that man's gum.
It's a lot of gum, though, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of...
It's got the whole axe, that gum.
Magma gum.
Yeah, magma gum. Anyway, and then we have sexy librarian.
Oh, yes, the sexy librarian, because nobody's ever dealt with that trope in any other format.
Yeah, she's even got her glasses down on the edge of her nose and is looking at you kind of seductively over them while holding a giant scroll.
Yeah, a scroll, because that's in no way phallic.
No, not at all.
She has a bun, you know, and light is shining in behind her. I am the keeper of all knowledge.
No, she says, without knowledge, power is illusory. Without order, knowledge is fragmented. Without me, order is impossible.
So you're like, is that a promise or a threat?
Probably both.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, very...
And then we've got some people in similar states of nudity, which is actually there's a...
I mean, we do have a man with a woman, the Arbiter of the Precipice card, one of the Void Heroes. And they've got both the woman and the man are similarly half...
Naked.
Clothed, yeah. And, I mean, you know...
I think that we can give that one a good...
Equal
I think that's
opportunity
a thumb,
nudity,
yeah.
I think, is what we say.
I think that's a thumbs up to that card. We like it when people are semi-naked on cards, but also we prefer it when they're equal opportunity. We have to say, though, that there aren't any male cards that are similarly...
No, and in fact there are no...
Sort of sexualized.
Women who are sort of wearing heavy armour or...
Yeah.
Or are kind of covered up tidily.
And pretty much all of the basic cards are all, like, heavily armoured men. And
yes,
or,
I mean, there is one. There's the Mystic. So the Mystic looks a little bit like your yoga teacher gone astray in some way. The sort of a cross between the cover of Firestarter and your yoga teacher.
My yoga teacher's a man. Well, mind you, he does have hair that looks like that.
I thought your yoga teacher was a...
No.
My bad. Not your yoga teacher right now. Anyway.
A hippie woman.
Yeah, exactly. Who's wearing sort of a headband. And she's got her hands up in sort of a prayerful position. And
she's like she's communing with spirits.
Maybe.
Or something.
But she's a mystic, right? That's what she does. And she's quite passive. And she uses her powers of intellect and possibly duplicity in order to get what she wants. And that's a theme that we see in the descriptions of some of these representations of women as well, isn't it? I mean...
The Escar, two-fold Escar has actually got
two-faced
faces.
Woman, right?
Woman, yeah,
so
the
not
two-faced
Janus,
woman.
But it's like a woman version of Janus.
And there's also a yin-yang symbol on her neck, which you sort of assume that there's one of those women is probably really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's supposed to be balance, light and dark, male and female. But...
Yeah,
in which case, why isn't half of that a man?
Well, she's got just got boobs. She's got four arms, but only
two
boobs.
Well, I mean, it depends on how many.
Where does the other arm
come out? How many are in the litter of a twofold Ascaro? Because if you only have possibly two children at once, then you really only need two breasts. I mean, you'd want to give one a break. Yeah, at least six
arms. So maybe she's a spider. No, that doesn't make sense.
That's eight legs.
A crustacean, six legs? That's
beetles. Oh,
beetles are.
I wanted to finish my... Sorry, it is a little bit late for us to be doing
We've
this.
We've also
just,
had
just
some Prosecco,
clear.
So we're going well.
But the other card I wanted to talk about in terms of duplicity is the Flytrap Witch. So the Two-Fold Ascaro is quite a straightforward depiction. You have a two-faced woman on the card. The Flytrap Witch is a little bit like... She was a guide to both would-be leaders, but only the Godslayer... Die, die, die. Reach the other side of the swamp. His rival. Simply vanished.
Yeah.
So...
I guess vanished into the maw of the flytrap witch, who has the little Venus flytrap plants sort of mouths around her.
So it's like, oh, it's this idea of this woman who's sort of going to be your helpful guide through the wilderness and is actually just going to kill you and feed you to her plants or something.
To be fair, plants got to eat.
I mean, yeah, of course they do, but it's this idea of betrayal and duplicity, which I think is a little bit
that's
kind of a tired trope in terms of representations of women in media.
Yeah. So I think really for this, what the missed opportunity here is that they could have had some really cool women portrayed here. I mean, we pretty much went through the entire basic Ascension
deck
yeah. and pulled out every woman.
What about this? I mean, we like the game, so...
Yeah, we really like the game. It's a good game. So, yeah, so not so great for the women. But, you know, maybe some of the expansion packs help with that. Please let us know. So I haven't picked any of them up yet.
If there's something that we've missed, then do...
Yeah, please.
So there's something else.
This is still Ascension.
So we're still looking at Ascension at the minute. And we were looking mainly for depictions of women. But I think also it's definitely worth flagging up issues of diversity. The people, so far as we can tell in this game, are mainly white people.
Especially the heroes.
Especially the heroes. And that's a problem, because we need more depictions of people of colour, and they need to be sort of justifiably rendered without stereotype, preferably. So,
Along comes the Land Talker.
The Land Talker, who is a hero... but is depicted in profile in what looks to me almost like a late classic Maya depiction. When I saw it, I thought, oh my goodness, that reminds me of the depiction of Pakal of Palenque, who's ruler of Palenque in the late classic period of pre Columbian Mesoamerica. And that is... I mean, he did very well, right? Longest known period of rulership in the history of the Americas, up to that point.
He's got a very cool-looking headdress as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the actual depiction of his head.
We'll put this picture. Great.
Yeah, I mean, we'll put the picture up on the podcast, sure, why not? But the point is that if you look at this card, and it's called Land Talker, and it's this sort of, again, it really does make one despair a little bit, because you've got this land is a prisoner, God slayer. You know, it's a bit...
Well, it reminds me, so I didn't make the Mesoamerican connection, but I thought more sort of the indigenous Native American people.
Sure.
It was all about those sort of spirit guides and the connection with the land and that. And being an Australian, we often see Australian Aboriginal people put into that role in Australia as the kind of connection between us and being people and the land. And they are the, you know, the spirit guides. And it's quite demeaning in some ways.
It is really demeaning to sort of put people in that place. And you, nobody's talking to them about what they think. So, I mean, I think it's not a problem that there is a depiction of somebody who can be taken to be Indigenous. I think that's good. We should have more positive depictions of Indigenous people and, you know, definitely other people of colour as well. This, you know, whiteness is overwhelming at points. But the problem with this is that it's a stereotype, that it's sort of lazy storytelling or lazy design. I mean, either way, it just...
Yeah, no,
it's a big missed opportunity. Yeah,
pigeonholes... groups of people into
entire
saying, well, this is actually
groups
all that they do.
This
or
is
this
what
is,
they do.
Yeah.
You get to be one with the earth. That's your
that's
job.
That's it, yeah. So if you want to go and become an athlete or an astronaut or whatever, like, nah.
No. No.
Yeah, better, so it's frustrating.
Better luck. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a missed opportunity that we hadn't kind of... really thought about until we came across the card, and then we were both like, ooh.
And this isn't just Ascension either.
No,
there are lots
isn't.
Of games that have
Indigenous
people represented in them as these kind of stereotype tropes of whatever. Like, so it might be that you've got kind of South American Indigenous people who are all sacrificing people
people portrayed as cannibals or worse, right? Indigenous nations of various...
And this stems out of a lot of the colonialist assumptions about people that were happening before we, and I say we meaning my ancestors who were colonial.
Right, our settler ancestors.
Yeah, settler ancestors, even before they even went there. And, I mean, it's... quite impressive. I think I mentioned in a previous podcast, I've been watching the David Attenborough early 1960s. Yeah, yeah. So the one about Zambezi, for example, where he talks about how Livingston just assumed that all these people were kind of natives, like savages, and yes, they weren't going to be particularly civilized, and yet actually they had really impressive civilized. Yeah.
What does it mean to be civilized? What is civilization?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I do not have enough time in this podcast, but someday.
Anyway, so this was the basic, one of the things that came out of this.
A missed opportunity here. I mean, yeah, we were really setting out to look at the gender angle, but it's important that we mention other problems as well.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, this comes back to lots of video games. So you see this in things like Civilization.
Oh my goodness.
You see,
and there's cultural appropriation going on everywhere where people just nick stuff and they're like, oh yeah, it's indigenous inspired. It's like, why don't you talk to them?
And actually Overwatch has a bit of that as well, which I was a bit upset about with Farrah.
Oh yeah,
so Farrah's supposed to be Egyptian, but she seems to have outfits that are like Native American.
Yeah, they look like Pacific Northwest Coast nations.
Yeah, which is nowhere near Egypt. Just
really just, yeah, no,
not
out of, I can't even.
Yeah, not near Egypt.
So, oh yeah, they've called it something really irritating, like Rain Dancer or some crap like that as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, there's all of that.
Almost as good as Land Taco, to bring us back to Ascension.
So I think that's it for this Ascension. A poor Ascension, which we love, and
we
please
do,
play it because it's lots of fun.
It is fun. It's a really well balanced.
If you like
game,
these, yeah. And actually, it's a good deck building game. Like I say, deck building game. I like. Deck building games to me sound like Magic the Gathering and stuff. I just don't get them. But Ascension's nice because it's just, you don't have to, it's just there and you just play it and it's just a game.
And it just goes,
there's no need to actually know what you're doing.
No, it just takes over and that's, it's a good time.
It's just it's a board game as far as I'm concerned. So we also wanted to talk a bit about another game that we love, which is Shadows Over Camelot.
Oh, yes. The version we have is actually the German one, so it has the very sort of imperious-sounding title of Schatten über Camelot, which is, you know, Shadows of Camelot. This is, I think, a pet missed opportunity. And, I mean, did you read any of the Arthurian legends growing up?
I mean, Yeah, I did. Once and Future King was one of my favourite books when I was growing up. Yeah.
So, I mean, me too. This is stuff that, I mean, and I hardly remember it because
I was
so
young.
Oh,
and that one by, what's her name? Who turned out
name?
To be a weird lady.
Well, we're all weird ladies.
No, but she was particularly odd.
At any rate, so we sort of grow up with these tales, like, and I'm sure it's not just settlers, but also, you know, lots of people grow up with stories about the Knights of the Round Table, although, to be fair, in my childhood it was much more likely to be Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But, I think it would have been a lot nicer in that game if they had taken the opportunity. And to be fair, it's a, you know, it's an older game, but it's one that, it is really challenging. It's really difficult.
It was one of the first co-op board games I'd ever played, by the way.
And
we lost.
Yeah, no, so did I the first time.
I don't think I've actually ever won that.
I have never won that game.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful game. It's a really lovely idea. I appreciate the inspiration behind it, but I don't appreciate that all of the female characters are sort of, they're all really awful events that can happen to you.
Yeah.
So like Morgan Le Fay happens and that's it. You know, everything is bad.
Yeah.
So women are not actually people, they're events. They're like a tropical storm or a flood or something like that that really ruins your game.
Yeah.
And I think maybe reflecting a little bit on, you know, the writers of, you know, I suppose the things that inspired what we think of the collective Arthurian myths, they're not going to be women writing them.
No.
They're not written from a...
Well, this is actually the weird lady book. I just remember it's called Mists of Avalon.
Avalon, that sounds familiar.
I've forgotten her name. But anyway, but it was written from Morgan Le Fay's perspective, and it was just quite impressive because of that. I mean, it was also kind of... I think it was a bit of a sexy book for, like, teenage me reading it.
Oh, Marion Zimmer Bradley.
Oh, yeah, and she was a bit of a weird lady.
Yes, yes. But she's, yes. Right.
Anyway, so Mists of Avalon. And that was, so that was actually quite surprising because it was written from a woman's perspective. And it's a bit like if you look at like the Wizard of Oz versus Wicked, for example, right? Where you've got the fact that actually if you look at it from a different perspective, what you see is...
A different story.
A completely different story with the woman... actually having agency and making decisions about what's happening to her and actually making the best decision that she has available to her based on the circumstances. So it's actually a much... I think if you're writing games or if you're building games or even if you're writing a story or something like that, if things are just happening and they're only happening to further one person's story... You're missing out on a lot of depth and characterization that you could have if all of the characters that interact with each other actually have their own motivations, their own stories, and their own background, and have reasons for making the decisions that they do.
Yes,
that aren't just about plot driving.
Yes.
The main protagonist. Mm-hmm. So this is actually why I think some of these. Yeah, a lot of these sort of games that have women in them are perhaps missing a thing or two because they're not taking those perspectives.
Yes, and it's, you know, it is a bit sad because we do like, you know, we like playing games. It's a big, you know, part of our, you know, weekly, enjoyment time, right?
Weekly
like,
rituals.
Yeah, exactly. and it's always a little bit sad when you're like, oh, wow, the women aren't even women. They're just kind of like,
well, this is like
things
in...
that happen to you.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, you could still replicate those myths in a board game setting and keep the women being evil and horrible, but give them, some agency.
Have an actual, like, maybe they're acting in this way because they have actual, like, real reasons for doing it.
For acting this way, exactly. And instead of having your Black Knight... why not, have, you know, one of the, you know, the Lady of the Lake or something like that be her own force.
And there's plenty of women in Arthurian legend that were actually pretty badass.
Yeah.
I mean, Guinevere was actually pretty cool.
Sure.
I think also some of that BBC show about Arthur was not too bad from that perspective.
Okay, I didn't see it.
It was like a one with... it was like a 6 o'clock Saturday night aimed at kind of teenagers type show.
Right.
But it was pretty good. Yeah. And,
I mean, I think... I don't know how much time we have left here, but...
we've got plenty of time. So I think we can talk about who actually plays games. Because we're saying we play games and we're like, what, 30-something women?
We're 30-something.
30-something. Still.
For a bit just.
We play games, but we were playing a new game that that a friend of ours was...
Oh, we were really looking forward to this because the nostalgia.
Yeah, so growing up, one of the first first-person shooter games I ever played back in the 90s. Doom.
Yes.
You remember Doom?
I do.
And it was amazing because you ran around and you shot things and they scared the crap out of you,
basically.
And they made horrible noises and you opened doors and there were just more things to shoot and eventually then you got to a boss and you'd shoot it and you ran. I remember at one point running around like a balcony or something and just shooting this thing. Maybe that was Doom 2. I get all these ones confused.
I can't remember because they all kind of blend together.
And also Quake and all that. They all kind of blend together. They're all much the same, to be honest. Ah, I bet there's a whole bunch of people out there going, oh my God, how can you say that? How can you say all those first-person shooters are the same? Well, they felt like the same to me.
They felt a little bit the same.
Anyway, so we had this board game, Doom, which was a lot of fun. So we've been playing a lot of Imperial Assault,
which has been pretty good. A good time.
Yeah, and Doom is made also by Fantasy Flight Games, who make it Imperial.
People.
Yeah, and they have a very nice way of setting it up. But basically, you just run around and shoot things. And you even respawn. And you can telefrag and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yes, you can!
It's brilliant. And they have all the monsters
exciting.
From the original game, so it's brilliant.
And you just see the pictures and you're like, oh, I remember that thing. Those were horrible.
Yeah. Imps and things. Yeah. And So we were reading through the book.
Yeah, the manuals, which there are like 12.
Because it's a fantasy flight game. There's three or four.
Yeah.
They're very big and long and complicated. Extensive. But they're also... They also all assume that the players who are playing are male.
Yeah.
Because no girls ever played Doom.
No. Well.
Well, girls didn't play video games back then, didn't you know, Tia?
Right, no, of course not. No, no.
No, no, no. Girls playing video games, that's a recent thing.
Oh, my goodness. Let me just say.
I've been playing video games since, what, 1985, yeah, I think? Something like that.
So it's really difficult. I mean... There was definitely that feeling early on, especially, you know, late teens. Yeah, well, late-ish teens, where I was like, oh my goodness, there aren't any other women that I know who play video games, but everybody that I played with assumed I was a man.
Yeah.
And as soon as they found out that I might not be, sort of I wrote something in chat or something that revealed that I was not a man...
instant millions of people messaging you saying things like, oh my god, girl, oh my god, are you really a girl, send us pics, stuff like that.
So there was stuff like that, but there was also
Back then they were much more polite, I think, than these
days. I was just gonna say, you know, there was one series of horrible things that happened because I wasn't interested in the advancements of somebody, and I told him where to go, and so he created a character with a name like my character and ran around doing a bunch of horrible things and performing all kinds of questionable activities in order to try to make me look bad, to get me chucked out of my raiding guild.
Wow.
And trying to do all kinds of horrible stuff because I rejected him.
So wow, you actually had an in-game stalker.
It was awful. And they posted stuff on boards and they lied to a bunch of people about who I was and what I was doing. And
that's incredible.
It was awful. I ended up basically quitting because I couldn't handle it. Like, I couldn't play the game. I just wanted to enjoy the game.
And that was probably not possible. In the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's right.
Yeah, so this is back when people were actually polite about this. That was relatively polite.
But it was still enough to make
it was
just
awful.
Be like, I can't
handle
this. Like, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I was acting kind of within the normal scope of human behaviour, and wasn't really acceptable. If I was there, then I was, you know, meat, and I should have acted like I was grateful for this person's.
No, I certainly had a lot of that sort of stuff, but it didn't get to that point, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But I think I probably would have quit as well.
So
this game assumes that you're male.
A man.
And, actually, I think we had three women and two
men
playing.
Yeah, we had three women and two men. And the three women, the thing is, like, it would be really... I almost wish if I could kind of go back and, like, tape us talking about it, because there were the three of us women, and we're all remembering sort of the noises that the monsters made and the things that they did that scared the crap out of us. And the things that we enjoyed. The sound of the doors.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things that we were reminiscing about in a shared experiential way. And that was fun, and it was sort of heartwarming and enjoyable, and yet the manual was written for not us.
Yeah, it was written as in, like, the players, then he does this, he does that, and you're like, he what? Like, yeah, and it's just sad. I mean, these things are, you'd expect better these days. And also...
Quite honestly, yes.
I think that's just a bit pathetic, to be honest. And I think it's just lazy writing, and
it
I think they just...
Sloppy.
I mean, there are lots of ways of writing manuals that don't reference gender, and
I mean,
they should just
deal with it.
Manuals
just write directly to the player, don't they? They're like, you will take 5 cards from this...
Or the player will, or they will, or...
Yeah, they. I mean, singular they. Come on,
I mean,
because that covers the bases.
Yeah.
Right?
If you address the person as the player and then you say they after it, it's not ambiguous.
Then that's good.
Yeah.
No.
The only time you get
easy.
Ambiguous is when you get plural they, and then it's, you know, you can say the players.
Or they all choose or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things you can do. But they didn't. So that's
they didn't. So that's kind of one of our other really big missed opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, we do love these games, let's just, you know, but just because we criticize them doesn't mean we don't enjoy them. You can enjoy stuff that's not as great as you would like it to be, and you can criticize stuff without it being the end of the world. And
we wouldn't bother to critique something that we despised, would we? Like, if
we would just say that was crap. We would
just be like, no, that was a crap game.
And there've been plenty of crap games that I've played, and I wouldn't even bother talking about them to be honest. But these are ones we actually enjoy.
Well, you're kind of like, oh, well,
that was a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
Speaking of a bit rubbish, I think that's it for this week.
You've been listening to the Not Just a Game podcast. The music is Hot Machine Cold Surface by Ben Prunty from OC Remix. Graphics are from the Noun Project.